interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 460. For those of you who have been listening, you know that's one of the episode numbers you might be able to find the content from the search engines, given we're not being shadow banned. And although it seems to be that the RLM website is doing really well as far as getting the SEO out so that we can get near the top, if not the top, for getting all this information. Again, Behind the Woodshed, I can only give you the high spots of the notice that I find. Most people call it the news. I learned a long time ago it's actually telling us what's going on that we needed to be responsive to as a society that was imposed with the duty to keep the republic, at least for us in the United States, and now we find in Kanukistan, their rights at all. And their rights, if you looked at last week or a couple of weeks ago, those rights didn't come into being until just late, like in the 60s to the 80s. Finally in the 80s, they were brought in as a charter contract, charter constitution, charter compact. So understand the dynamic here on the way they worked this up. So essentially, I guess, you didn't have rights up in Kanukistan up until that time. And as I've pointed out, the author, very important, I don't know how people don't appreciate this importance, but the author is there to speak. However, because everybody's misplaced where they need to focus, they've put themselves too many steps into a problem instead of at the first point and then insisted on the law. They want to try and make adjustments and amendments to something or protections to something that's not really at play. And what was violated was something before upon the government and the officials of the government, which hasn't been pointed out yet, at least anywhere but Behind the Woodshed, and maybe some of you that have been asserting that. Because of this failure, we have everything that we see as a wrong. It's just a consequence of the initial failure. To speak and complain of those failures is really not getting to the point, I guess, I need to say that. I really don't. I look around and I'm not sure that people appreciate this point. And it's, like I said last week, part of me is excited to see that finally the world's waking up. It's only taken two darn years. And yet, we're still looking at it and we're being attacked and determined to be the terrorists as the officials maintain that status of authority. And they have none. And no one's really pointed that out. They just complain that what they're being put on them is not valid. Before I get lost in all that, because this was normally the month that we do the fundraiser, I wanted to bring that up again. We are in the February month. We had last week, we could have started then. We've had a little bit of the handoff and the transition of the baton to Vinny, who has been a little bit slow to bring up certainty, but I think we're getting a lot closer, and I'd like to just go ahead and institute for my part. I see some questions that may be there, but not necessarily for most people on the donation side. If you go to the website and donate this year now, I would assume that we're looking at about another $500 or $600, escalating one third. We probably need $600-$700, but at any rate, the 30% increase now as it's rolling on, I'm not sure. But if we could target $500 or at least give us a start, we're into this about a week late. We only do this 1 month a year, and we attempt to get it. All of the funds we need to keep the servers running and the account, you know, all those account stuff, all that stuff has to be paid for. To my knowledge, I don't think anybody's being paid to do anything at RLM. I don't think they ever have been. Although we're having to have a transition of a bunch of people, there's a lot of volunteers coming in to keep, I think, a unique network on. And partly why I asked Grimner to be here instead of other places. Didn't know that it would be as ignored by a lot of people as that it has been and is, but it's positioned in a neat place. I now have longevity on a network that was completely can make its mark as far as being that objective basis. I don't talk here Behind the Woodshed on just knowing all the little tidbits of the news, but what we do about certain things that, in my experience, need to be addressed. And so you're not going to hear, certainly I'm not just about anywhere else. In fact, I've had been blackballed from a few networks for some reason. The networks that did want me wanted me too much. I couldn't keep up with the demand at the time I needed to focus. And interestingly, trying to see forward, if you in the past looking forward at what would be on me on demands, I'd certainly have made the right decisions. And in particular, culminating today where I'm I've had to spend that. The things that I tell you to do are the things I've been doing in the last 8 months or now or so to defend us against the government. Trespass, intrusion, trust breach, all that stuff is all written down. It'll eventually we may decide to allow people to see that generally, but I wanted the sheriff to have a bit of time to answer quietly if there's anybody else that cares before a potential groundswell of interest shows up to actually get him to do his duty. And this is what it's about. I don't care about their job. I want to know about their duty. And I don't really want to know about the duty because that's printed in the black and white. Everyone can go find it. And this is about, this whole thing is about the black and white. What was the duty upon the officials? And that hasn't been done. And that needs to be pointed out. And I keep telling you, even the protesters, you need to bring that as the reason, not the mandate, but that they didn't demonstrate the cause for their emergency. So the consequence of this, when they didn't do that, for the first time in history, look around and people can transmit a disease we don't have to those who are immunized against it. And I said, I told you a long time ago, when it stopped making sense, somebody violated the law somewhere. And boy, have they ever. Oh, and on that note, I guess I'm going to be interrupted here by some of you that may go away. Maybe not. But some of you might go away. I understand, though, the Canadian truckers are odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl contest. So if you're not going to choose me, maybe go choose them and support what's going on there. And not just that, but start passing the word. They need to stand on the fact and make a statement. I say make a writing, because a written record is evidence in a court. And then if you send it to the official and you give them notice, then you're on the record for you. And the communicable disease law works on everyone, individually, folks. This is why you have your power. I keep saying this. You come in mutual aid, like we see the so-called protests, the demonstrations. But that's not where the power is. The power is in each one of those. The aggregate is, but the power is in one, each one. And that's developed in law, in writing, as evidence. And when you do this, it becomes the administrative record, because when you're dealing with an executive implementation of a law, or in the absence of that implementation, that's an administrative record you get to make. And once you do that, you know on record that they can't really put anything on you. I'm saying that I can't really, because the rogue agent and official can, and that's really where the power becomes. They can't show what they've done. And this is what I've been telling you. Get the word out to tell anybody who's a so-called protester to add on to that, not that they're challenging the mandates, but that they have been irreparably harmed where the government failed to demonstrate the non-fraudulent cause for the emergency. And then you know in the background how they would do that would be to go to the communicable disease law. So I guess in the Super Bowl contest, and right before it, they have like the Super Bowl party today, probably be when it's time, maybe we can pass the word to Super Bowl party like it's 1999, prior to 9/11, you presumptive enemy combatants. And speaking of presumptive combatants, no, not the protesters, that presumptive COVIDs. Remember, that's coming back in the news. They're giving you an aid. They're giving you that aid stuff, right? Because that's where it starts. 1984 was the first notice to us. Now, the presumptive combatant is this COVID story. Like, are you getting all that, folks? This is what they did. This is the same model of 9/11. Okay, I've told you that. I've told you this for 2 years. I've told you this coming into it. I told you this before that. And I've explained how you were going to go about protecting yourself. At least getting a mark, if you will, on the record, a mark on that beast that says you have to stop here and can go no further until you bring on what the law says you have to. Because I've said that there's a war on. I said they're coming at you. We'll have some news here when I get there. That's exactly what they did right after I talked. I can't even get to this stuff almost fast enough. In fact, last night I had over 60 tabs of content to produce for you today. Obviously, can't happen. And I've had to cut all that out, some of which I saved, some of which I deemed to be too complicated to really deal with it on the air. It's just so much to deal with sometimes. I just can't touch something. There's just so much to cover that I have to... 50% of what I was looking at last night is now cut away, maybe some for next week. It's just too much to talk about. And, you know, I'm not talking just to be talking. I'm saying, here's some things, folks. Go ahead learn that it's there. I know some of you already understand this, so I'm asking you to then go ahead and take it both, you know, both hands and start to work it. So everyone's doing their thing, but I want people to be protected. That's a common theme for me in the emails. I don't want people just to act. I want people to be protected when they act. When they do what they need to do, I want them to have the record established. And I just tell you, it's a psychological power. I don't know what to tell you how that works until you see it and you realize you're not questioning everything. You're not in doubt. There's black and white you can resort to that has failed, and then it's causing you harm. It's a much better place to be than you're arguing with someone who has the power to call you a terrorist. And has, and that's the other thing, no one appreciates that, but has. And now you're the whole system comes against you when that happens. So I'm looking around at all these protests that are going on now, global, great stuff in a way, great stuff. And I say in a way because they're all doing it because of the mandates instead of the failure to demonstrate the cause for the emergencies, which is the first point, and objectively point why. But notwithstanding, I'm looking at all these people that are demonstrating, protesting. So I still want to know why all these protesters haven't dropped dead yet. I mean, when, folks? And that said, I got to say something, public service announcement. Around me, in my sphere of awareness, physically close, around, in the neighborhood, in the towns, in the areas, we are going through this wave of sick illness. And you know, none of it, not one I've heard, and I keep very close attention to this stuff. I've been really interested what it is, if there is something there, what it is. So I'm really paying attention. I've told you I don't divorce the fact there may be something there, but I think that something got brought in underneath the cover of the something that might be there. And I wanted to know what that was. I don't want to get sick. I take measures to not to get sick and all that. But anyway, there's something going through now, 2 years later, something going through the area that is making people sick. And not one case has the symptoms of so-called COVID-19. Not one. And everybody's confused. I hear over here conversations. They're confused. They think it's COVID. And they test. And they test positive. They don't realize the test was made to go positive. And yet we have, in fact, I've got a couple of people who found out after they tested positive, well, they had an infection, but it was caused completely, objectively caused by something else. In one case, it was a dental problem. If I get the intention of redneck dentist on this one. It was a root canal that caused an infection, a sinus infection. Totally bizarre little setup. I've never heard of it before. And this guy tested caused positive for COVID. It had nothing to do with it. So I want to, the public service announcement is, folks, there's something going around. And it's just hitting around pretty decently around in our area. None of which is got the symptoms of COVID. And every sign of it, of the ones that are the more serious, is the flu. It's the influenza. People don't even recognize how to identify the flu anymore. I don't understand that. Other things of lesser capacity, it looks like common cold. It looks like the combination, just like we would have known had we never known about this COVID. So beware, be healthy, get yourself protected, do some of the distancing yourself. Just if you get sick, you get symptoms, or before you start feeling something, come on, attack it. Like I attack it as soon as I feel something. And don't go around, don't infect people, because there is something there, and it is making people really miserable, really, really miserable. Anyway, off of that, as we move through this, we got to learn to keep the reality and identify as what the falsity is. But as this is all going on, the presumptive enemy combatant is this invention they made. And that's now finally creating a reverse movement, which I'm happy to see. Although I wish with the caveat, people would do what I'm asking, add on to their statement, not that they're there against the mandate, but they're there because the officials failed to create a non-fraudulent cause, a non-fraudulent reason, a non-fraudulent necessity, a non-fraudulent exigency for the emergency they declared. And if you have that in writing, you have copies, you can send that to all the so-called officials that show up because they're coming to attack you. But these demonstrations now on the U.S. border are continuing to grow because officials failed to demonstrate a non-fraudulent cause for their emergency, even if that hasn't been stated, because it stopped making sense. They had no basis. And no one really, they want to go to science, but science was epidemiology, cooking the books. It was the evidence of this in lots of places, how they use so-called science data, manipulated data, in order to make a justify a thing that doesn't exist. But again, we get back to the models are not reality thing. In fact, I just came up with a video where the scientist, a solar scientist, actually says that. The scientists know that the models are just best guess ideas. But anyway, getting back to the point here. So, the officials failed to demonstrate a non-fraudulent cause for their emergency. I'm being a harpy on this because this is the first point of failure. Because it's black and white, you can objectively find that they failed. And you have to make sure you tell them that. But they failed to demonstrate, the officials are failing to demonstrate the cause for their emergency. It can't be presumptive. So talking to someone else, you can't have a presumptive emergency. And that's what they've done. And no one challenged them. And I say no one, I understand there's a couple of people that are. One in particular court case. So I just got to be a harpy on this, and I want the message to go out about this. I really don't think people appreciate the importance. They really get wrapped up in the fact that people are standing up against tyranny. And that's a valid thing, but it's not what we do, what we have to do relative to that tyranny and the prison they've built up around that people didn't notice was going on. And you're watching them, they execute on their power. It was in that encroached power that was not tested to beat you down. And people are succumbing at some point, giving the government more and more validity to stand there like Trudeau stands there and says, we're doing it for safety and your health. And he's not. He's the man-made disaster. And I don't say that as a critique of him as a official in himself, although he is, but I'm saying officially, he has failed. He has failed to be the official in the office. He's acting privately, actually. And we can quickly get to that. But you have to say that's what's going on. Not you say the opinion, you say he has failed to demonstrate the non-fraudulent cause. When you say you're there to demonstrate, it's because the government, your demonstrations are there because the government has failed to demonstrate the non-fraudulent cause. You're not there because of the mandates. And if you continue down the mandate side, you're giving them the power. And you have to understand this. And this truth emanates and affects everything that comes against us. They don't actually have the power. All you have to do is really understand the core of where that failure was and name it. And then you stand there. And you don't have to give up anything. You've got nothing to prove. As I keep telling you about the employees, you've got nothing to prove. The rules doesn't even faze you. Once you just make the notice of your objection, and I say because there was no demonstration for a non-fraudulent reason and cause for the necessity they claim, and you state that, the burden shifts to the other side, and you saw, as we talked about the employers, it falls on the official, the CEO, the government, whatever, whoever is in the company to demonstrate and have hearings and have due process. Okay, so it's all written. If you just would settle down, keep the party atmosphere. In fact, I was talking with somebody in the email, and I'm saying, the war is on us. They're coming after us, and then we see what's happening in Ottawa. The war is on, and it's going to be a great tactic that they started a party attitude needs to be maintained. And I noticed that's really what's going on. People are maintaining that, and this is just, a natural response, but it's also how you have to maintain that aloofness with purpose. Keep the party attitude without getting frivolous. And then have in your background that you know what to say when they come at you. You say, "What you have you now the official coming to enforce a so-called law haven't shown that you're working from a lawful order that demonstrated a lawful, non-fraudulent cause." How hard is that to write down and have ready to say in a 3x5 card if you forget it? This is why when I talk with people, I said, you got a recorder, go ahead and read whatever comes out of my mouth on specific things we talk about. And just take down and write that down. And then if it's a little bit off, we massage it. We make sure that it's correct. But for the most part, what I'm telling you, just copy those words and have them ready. Or you make them in a filing and send them. It starts that process, your engagement, to distance yourself from their ability to put an authority, the authority. The authority is after they get the jurisdiction. Okay, so you just, these are real basic concepts. I'm really off the tab here. But anyway, so please pass the word to demand, or to the reason you're protesting or demonstrating. Your demonstrations are because of the lack of demonstration of the official in law for the reason, the lawful, non-fraudulent reason for what they're doing and what they've done. And then I tell you, then you look very carefully at what that law is, and it tells you what was supposed to happen, and they couldn't even go here. They couldn't go here. And so I ask again, if it is what they say it is, then why aren't these people dead? All these protesters, why haven't they died yet? U.S. inflation hits the highest level in 40 years in January as prices rise 7.5% from 2021, which startled me when I saw that. I'm not quite sure what they're talking about. If it rose 7.5% from 2021, that's just 2 months, not even 2 months ago. And I have a suspicion that's the truth. Anyway, this is not to tell you about that. You can read that. You know it. I overheard a conversation. It looks like the middle class is really starting to get hit right now. They're finally realizing how expensive life is. It's hitting the middle, so-called middle class pocketbook. And they're actually turning around and they're looking, well, how have the other people been making up? How have they been doing it? And so we have a real serious mental correction coming. People in the middle class of America will take up a lot. And now they're realizing they are not able to do it. And so beware of that. My suggestion then is we become that self-reliant people that we can be locally. Make sure you got local connections. Make sure you try to get the local farmers and stuff to start producing. And those that have land and don't, maybe they can get into producing food as a stopgap. My thought is they will try not to leave a hungry population. That doesn't mean you're going to be having a lot either. And so even this year we've got a little bit of a quick spring, it seems. I hope it's not a fall spring, but I've been kind of backed off of doing too much gardening. This year I'm starting to gear up already. Normally I wouldn't even start thinking about this till the middle of March. Middle of maybe April, depending on how cold it is. Our nights are not ready to go, but our days are already, the bees are flying. In fact, I got a confirmation the bees are already flying. And so maybe start making cold frames. I noticed my cold frame works really well. The more hardy plants I can put I've been climatizing, growing seed year after year, will do better in a cold frame, even though the nights are freezing. So prepare. Find the expensive stuff that you can't find when everyone does their harvest. You got thousands and tons of squash and tons of things and cucumbers, and maybe not grow that. Maybe grow the stuff that costs a little bit more money. Maybe your herbs, your spices. It's something that takes up less land, make more compacted garden. But anyway, the inflation is here. Whether or not that's 8% in 1 month, I don't know, but they are talking it's 8% again. Okay? So every year, like we talked about Dollar Tree having to raise $1.25. They've been seeing 30% increase over 3 years. They're actually losing money still. And it's a permanent change. And so we get to the Weimar Republic, where Grimner I think he did a whole broadcast. You can probably find that on the RLM. Again, donate to RLM. Get on the website. We'll work out some of the bugs on where you can go. I just saw a notice earlier that you don't have to go to the website to do the donation, but I don't know about it. I'm not going to make it confusing. Just go to the website, see what you can do with that. If not, send an email to Vine, Vinny, as you can, and see how we can do that so we can get the funds to put this network 1 year ahead, and we don't have to really worry about it. Nobody has to concern themselves that this word can go out, at least generated on its own. And so there's a lot of support to keep it going. There was last year. And I appreciate all that. I appreciate that you even think about doing that and then donating. It's a great gift to a lot of people, I think. And part of that is you're underwriting what I do. And yes, there's a lot of people that want to donate to me directly. But if you listen to me at any time, you realize I've just made a big disconnect. And it's not that easy. People are astounded that I can't get mail. And I just don't know. I don't want to describe it because I'm not sure who's listening and who's not. It's astounding the crime that goes on inside the system and has been. In some regard, we've been on the front line, secretly, silently. The petition touches on some of it that we wrote to the sheriff. And it was to overcome a presumption that we get our mail? I said, we? Yeah, it's pretty serious. And so I can't get mail that's sent. If it comes to me, we've had to find tricks and things, and if they just don't hold up, the mail gets stolen. It doesn't get delivered. It gets misdelivered. And the point is, so I just go ahead, and I gave up a lot in my mind that I was focused on a thing. I'm going to present that thing. You've been hearing it. And I wouldn't take much of anything What am I going to take when I can't make connection? And that's another reason why I haven't connected. All these digital things are cool. Bitcoin's cool, but it has a bunch of leeches attached. And so we've got to work that out. But for me, there's just not a way to get for me. And I appreciate everybody who wants to help me. And I could use the help, but I'm not here for all that right now. We've got a serious, serious war going on. And now the people are seeing it, even though they're not quite responding quite right. And I know maybe I sound arrogant to say so, that my opinion resolves itself around everybody. But all I'm saying is that not only do you demonstrate and protest and have a word in your mouth that you do, you have your natural word in your mouth, back it up with an official failure you can touch, you can point to in the official documents, in the official law. Don't just stand there and stick your chin out without that protection. So, the rise is on, the inflation is coming, the austerity is in, overheard the middle class is now feeling the pressure on themselves, can't understand now how others lesser than them have been doing it. And so, the pressure is here, austerity is on. Please take this advantage. I think if those of you that do have maybe a spring-like winter showing up, maybe you make concessions about cold frames to get your plants started a little bit quicker, and consider all that for yourself. Don't be hung out. You may be given this as another blessing to start up in case they do put pressure on us. We don't want to be forced because we're hungry or wanting or something like that. More impressive on me, my mouth literally opened and dropped on this one. I'm going to move on to another way they're imposing upon people. Public-private partnershiping and made crime legal is occurring as a subject matter I've talked about. When I saw this link and a list of links, I could not believe what I was seeing. I predicted this would happen. I predicted people don't understand how it's happening. And then we see, again, the future is told to us, not because I'm so prophetic. It's because there's certain mechanisms and plans in place that these system people use, these risk management people, these corporate people, these people who have lost their way and really don't care about us as people. They are looking at their own thing. And I don't know, we haven't tracked out all, we can't, I don't have the time to track all the rabbit trails that they're connected with. But when I read this, I was just, could not believe it. And then I say that and I said, I can totally believe it because I told you it was going to happen but here it is anyway. California gives PG&E approval to bill customers for wildfires. California gives PG&E, their utility company, approval, one of the big ones, the biggest one, approval to bill customers for wildfires. I just can't even imagine allowing a company that's been known to commit felonies, and this is in judicial determinations, are now being allowed to license fire. In fact, this story I have, it comes right up and says it. This is a license to burn. And this is the method that they use. They tax you, the people, for it. And it's going to be the ratepayers. Now, what their dereliction to maintenance has anything to do with your obligation is now no longer the question I told you that they would eliminate when they legislated the right of the company to go ahead and charge you. The story goes on. It's a license to burn. We've been saying that in the Forest Service, and don't forget this little problem. This is what I was telling you. This is the jaw-dropping point. When you see Forest Service mismanagement like we do, and they use the National Wildfire Policy Act to take control that they didn't have in the terms of in the black and white of that policy, not law, the policy itself doesn't give the federal agency this power. And we took that to task, and we at least got one county for sure to change it and another county to capitulate. Unwillingly, actually, until they had to see the light because of some other things that we had to do. The Forest Service, the mismanager of your forest, are burning you out. through a misapplication of the wildfire policy, moving it from suppression to risk management. Let it burn. Keep it burning. Now California is offered a license to burn. And to me, this is indicative of what may be happening across the whole western states. Everyone near a forest is going to be really subject to this. There's no limitation. That's what a license to burn, that's what the environmental justice advocates are calling the safety certificate Governor Gavin Newsom's administration issued to the PG&E late Monday, allowing the utility to recover catastrophic wildfire costs from its ratepayers or from a $21 billion state insurance fund, partly funded by surcharges on customers' power bills for the next 20 years. And why would it end here? That they blame the user for the dereliction of official utility maintenance and a dereliction of the government to ensure that a wildfire would be contained because these officials didn't constrain by their ultimate authority, by the Wildfire Policy Act, the ultimate authority is in the county to stop this, against this. So we have the environmental justice advocates saying this is a safety certificate. Well, the environmental justice advocates are your enemy. They're one of the pillars of the sustainable crowd, bringing in the sustainable development, which eventually burns you out, costs you money, insurance companies start to get involved. You don't get to be able to rebuild quite right, or build at all, or it's too expensive. And you're going to be taxed the whole entire time as they are causing this to go on. My dismay is not really dismay, because I don't think we're not a population of informed people anymore. Notwithstanding what I do behind the woodshed for 10 or so more years. In fact, we went through the year. I was so remiss to even bring it up. I brought it up a little bit, but I'm already here nine years at RLM. Been doing this here. I've been doing it before elsewhere, but there's just not a groundswell of interest to be informed and actually take things to task. Well, unless it becomes a party, I suppose. I guess we can make the party atmosphere. That's what people are really interested in. Again, I'm sure people will be turning away right now. The Super Bowl's on. So make sure you have your Canadian trucker team banners up and fingers pointing. But anyway, here, California gives PG&E approval to bill customers for wildfires. I'm stunned. I'm almost speechless because of what the harm this is going to cause. And I can't even, my mind goes speechless because there's too much for me to talk about. And so maybe I'll just stop right here. I hope you understand even the little bit and maybe even the mistreatment I did of this story to understand how they take us down. How no one has stepped up to make the officials responsible to something that they have in the black and white. And it's hands over to the corporations, the power. Lots of people that would listen to me would say, oh, it's the corporate government. Yeah, you're letting it happen. And I know that not because I'm so arrogant to say, oh, point the finger at you. I'm saying that's we. And I've been doing stuff that I've told you over time that counters a lot of that. So I'm not just saying, oh, this is you not doing something. We have to do things. Because when we don't, we now see here the fruition of what I said was coming, and here it is. And I just can't tell you, it's the Russian nested doll model of corruption. What gets hidden in this is, my mind just doesn't understand. I mean, it becomes a big cloud. Not that I can't see through it. But because I know most people wouldn't be able to even begin to get at it. I can see the nested, I can see the dolls, I can see the obfuscation each one makes. Each layer, each doll is a different level of corruption, and each one has its own plausible authority to do what they're doing. And I also know the core. It doesn't from the middle. It doesn't have that authority when you work its way back out. This is like nesting corporations, but this is what they're doing here. They're nesting the dereliction of official duty in each layer. This one puts on, I don't even know how, well, you can get at it, but it takes so much more work. And anyway, I'm stunned. I was almost looked at this and said, this is my whole broadcast is on this. But again, I look at the response and I just wonder what I'm supposed to cover. If I can't get people moving in the direction to protect themselves, and they sometimes move too quick, and that's the other problem. So we got a lot of work on there. These bigger deals, these more developed usurpations require a really focused and focused mind and intention to take it out, an intention to work to take it out, and a number of people to do so. And so, again, the broadcast is just not the place to do it, except to say, here's notice how far along they are, the model on how they do it. It was predictable. How they go about taking you pay for the usurpation of your own rights and their obligations and duties, and it exonerates their criminal culpability. And your governor down there is right on top, which is, predictable. I don't know what else to say. They are the sustainable religion crowd. Well, I guess I'll move on here as we, Bloomberg News ran a false headline. Russia invades Ukraine. Russia invades Ukraine was the headline, folks, for 24 minutes on Friday. And then someone says they claimed to be able to say, here's the untold story. Always question that. But at any rate, here's a Bloomberg running a title, Russian invades Ukraine. I move over there because what the United States government does in Ukraine or overseas, they'll do to you. To me, this is just more notice. This is also notice to us over what they do here, the media. We already, again, the choir understands this, but I guess the word is we take this as the proof of that they're doing it, and then we need to synthesize that and tell people to counter the narrative that's going to get the rest of the population involved like they did in COVID. To bring on allow the momentum to go in, apparently in the way of the government official. Why it's so imperative to start calling out what they did wrong. And not let that be unsaid. It's like in a court case. In fact, some of this I treat in a court case sense. You have to make a record of your objection. If you don't, you can't. There's a decision. You can't. If you don't object to the problem that happened in one court, the appellate court will not review the thing you didn't object to. It's not even on the table. And I guess that's how I just thought about that. That's kind of how I settle all this. I say, okay, look into the future. What am I going to need to protect against? You can't let wrongs or errors be silent. You have to name them. And then you'll find when you do that, the officials aren't going to look at that when you make the objection, but you carry it on. You carry it on. That's the thing you put in your bucket to be reviewed. Of course the officials aren't going to look at it. And maybe even the judiciary may look at it, but that's when you set up that record to show you predict ahead of time they wouldn't. And I'm pointing out we have a problem in this country that just supporting protesters or demonstrations is not going to resolve any of this. And we're hearing that in the news relative to the lingering authority that maintains itself because it's not challenged. It's not objected to. What's objected to is how they're treating you, not that they are mistreating you and the fact that they don't have the authority. Bloomberg is on this in the government, on the United States, to act as its mouthpiece to actually make a headline that says, Russia invades Ukraine. Is this ongoing problem that I'm having with the aggressor of the United States government, as we think we're the beacon and we speak out, we don't object to these things in a coherent manner. We just observe them and we say, oh, that's just mainstream media. Liars and this and that we're talking about people dying if people don't take action. Self-proclaimed Donbass Republic says prevented a Ukrainian artillery strike by intercepting drone. So I bring this up because what they do over there, they're going to do over here. We're going to see some stories at the end about the drones that are now coming into our town as our towns, as we have predicted here. We've seen the news. But self-proclaimed Donbass Republic, now that's a prejudicial statement right up front. They have proclaimed. They would proclaim. Any free people do proclaim. And this is the other thing. Where's you? Where are you in the countries of rule, o law, and democracy, proclaiming your separateness under the prior objective basis that you actually live under that these usurpers were supposed to follow to identify that they are the usurpers. But what's going on is that drones are being used to do things that are against international law against even agreements that are over there. And the Ukrainian artillery strike was from Ukraine side using illicit means to use drones to specifically target a people who've decided that they don't want to live underneath the rule of Ukraine after it was messed with the United States as well. And this is indicative of the fact that the United States is helping someone who's not even in NATO, we find. Well, we understand the Hunter Biden nonsense, but anyway, that we're willing to attack people and use advanced technology that violates law is a war crime. That seems to be okay. And we have the Bloomberg saying that Russia invades a country, and they have it. And I've been looking. I'm not that I don't think that they couldn't. I mean, they could, but I don't see yet. I don't see it because I don't think that it's in Russia's best interest. Although they're being game played into a position where they may have to make that decision on how far does that encroachment happen before they can't stop it. And so we're looking at illicit means to continue and foment the harm against people that aren't even in the sphere of the United States to do so at all. And that what's been coming out, what was invented by Bloomberg, their excuse was, oh, we have to have a number of headlines available so when the news comes quick, we have a headline. That's not one of the types of headlines I think you need to have a list for. Anyway, they tried to come up with an excuse. And we can keep listening to it, or we can start to shut it down as best we can, identify it, maybe like I'm doing here, but do more if we can. Because what they're pulling from is what came in the news also. Biden administration's intel leaks feared to harm U.S. image over allies over credibility concerns. And I looked at the story on this one. It says U.S. National Security Council officials speaking to Politico, where I'm getting this, where they got Sputnik got this story, has raised eyebrows over the scope of the intelligence the Biden administration has been, quote, leaking to the press. They are stressing that intel could harm nation standing should it info turned out to be wrong. Let me just stop all there. Let's cut through the nonsense. This is fomented by the United States. There is no intel that's leaking. It's lies that are so-called leaked. This is a part of the propaganda campaign. There is no national security leaking going on because this is an invented story. And so this story is an invented story. Their concern is an invented concern. They're implying that there's actual leaks that actually have intelligence that would suggest what they've been bringing out too much about. And I know some of you maybe see that, but I want to make sure that we're on the record behind the woodshed. This nested corruption, this nested, I don't know, just corruption, usurpation, how they protect each other, how they fortify each other is hard sometimes to see. And you have to kind of walk into this and say, wait a minute, these stories don't have a basis to start with. So this National Security Council concern is not valid. And they know better. And so this is a method to get people to capitulate there, to, I guess, just relax and give over to a false authority, what's been going on, again, what we can see in this COVID nonsense and everything else. So they're one lie upon the next. Oh, your National Security Council says, oh, it's important. You're leaking too much information. That makes you believe the leak. There was actually leaked information, and I'm suggesting with what I found, this entire thing is a lie. There's nothing being leaked more than the propaganda they want people to believe. Where's the evidence, folks? Demonstrate the non-fraudulent reason why you're making your statement. No, they're not going to do that. And so that's your first question. And when they can't immediately, you just move into fraud. And fraud immediately requires the response. And until they respond, you really have nothing to do. And I've been telling you that over and over. It's even in the rules. It was even in the labor condition. And it's why I led to those affidavits and my discussion with that non-fraudulent necessity that a business has to put together for labor. You haven't shown that. And until you do, and you make on the record, and we do a due process record building thing, until you show that, there's nothing more to say. I think that's pretty simple. I don't know what the, really, I think about that. I see lots of people balking at this. That's so simple. why that's why that's been considered complicated, I don't understand. But moving over, and just the embarrassment, really the embarrassment, if they don't have it themselves, I have it a little bit for them. Reporter destroys State Department's false flag, quote, intelligence on Russia. It's proven, this was done actually a couple days before the other problem, this false leaking thing. When you see what the simple question the reporter asks, the State Department's official simply states, because the proof in what you're asking for is because I told you so. Certainly is not a proof. The reporter's all over that. And he's also an older reporter. He's not up with all this nonsense that he's been seeing. And he does his best, you know, what can he do? But he can ask the question. He can bird dog this guy. And it's just the guy doesn't even have enough class in himself to not be embarrassed about how bad he looks in not answering that simple question. But the truth is, they're making it up. The truth is, the intelligence doesn't exist. And there is no leaking. In fact, like that other story, go look very carefully. They put quotes around the leaking. See, there's a truth in that news to us. And so this is just a major embarrassment on us as a nation, the United States of America, and the depths of deception we'll go at to hurt people. And I'm saying the federal government's doing that to you in the states. What sense, like in Canada, what sense does Trudeau have to say the United States allowing truckers on the border, stopping the borders from moving? What sense does it make that now he complains that the United States is attacking Canada? All I can point to is this mental incompetence that's been brought on. My cause would be the jab, because it wasn't happening before the jab. And this is where we start to get into the potential, like they're doing right now. Biden's mental competence is being questioned. What did I suggest would be happening soon? Joe something ain't right Biden has been now challenged by about 38 or so officials, lawmakers so-called. I assume, and not looking, but I assume that's probably all Republican-oriented, but doesn't matter. It's starting to come out. You can't look at the guy and say there's not a problem. There is something not right. But my question would be whether or not he was jabbed. He's all jabbed up, isn't he? He's all jabbed up. All of a sudden develops this condition. An accelerated decline, apparent decline, is another thing. And all the deception that's going on. And so now people are questioning. So this is no different than what I was saying. Question authority. You question their competency. You question inside, you look at your constitutions, and this is what we got out of Virginia. They clearly stated it, not in their section 1-3, but later on in another section of their governmental code, that their legislature could impeach an official for, I think, 4 standards. One of them is the competency, mental competency. So this is not an unrealistic challenge. But I want to just remind us, before we get all, let's go Brandon out of the way. Move Brandon along. Beware of the replacement, which is predicted prior to the election as a plan to replace him. And we better look farther down the road. I was talking a little bit in the email saying, we're at the war. We got to get people to start. We got to have people stepping back and understanding the logistics of what's going on, to be able to start giving messages out to people to position themselves ahead of time to support those that are part, and to then turn to the society as a whole, which is going to be pressured. Those people that are being put in want are going to be talked to say that the truckers are the problem. So there's a bigger angle going on that this so-called demonstration has to develop into in this war against people. That you have to look down the road at the consequence. It was predicted that Biden was put in to move him out. So now we have they actually have a plausible cause to do that. But that, you got to be careful, because they won't probably go far, because if they do that to him and they attach it to the jab, I say we attach it to the jab, we can then attach it to every world leader and official, that the jab is causing this thing. You prove it, like we can do it through the government's, manufacturer's own studies, that they can't show that it's not, that they're making these irrational discussions and decisions, and then we have another angle on them. But be careful of the consequence, like in this case, where if they do get this done, Well, one of the potentials we could predict going into the election was that they were going to remove this guy. You remember that? I hope you remember that. Don't forget what's going on here. So we have a different problem also developing. Not that we don't try, we don't get out an official that's wrong, but we better look to make foundational statements as to exactly what the standard, what the basis is going to be moving forward. And I don't know how a uneducated populace does that, but we're going to have to rise up pretty quickly. Otherwise, this thing moves, it jumps, quantum leaps into a whole new realm pretty quickly. And they got to do that in order, because the people are finding out, the people are closing in. But there's this, a war has many facets. And so we've got vulnerabilities that I think people not parked need to start getting engaged to see how this thing might start all working out as they come moving against the people in successive motions and moving that agenda forward that we already know is working. So who's going to be, if you go after something, Joe, something ain't right, Biden, who's the successor? What's their plan? What's going on there? You're going to have to look into the future and target those things, all on top of the so-called demonstrations. So around him, who didn't, in the succession, who didn't get the jab, given that we would propose that the jab is causing this mental incapacity? And it's shown in the record that it will do that to some people. Who in the succession didn't get the jab? And how will you know? It's all medical, so they don't have to tell you. And who didn't get the jab may be part of that plan. If those of you may have an insight and all that, I don't know. I don't talk about opinion. You got to have the facts on how that would work. They claim to have the jab. We already know. We look at, oh, they didn't actually give them a jab. Oh, look how phony that is. Or how do we know they didn't have saline? Who in the succession didn't get the jab that they would be mentally incapacitated by this thing? Because inquiring, unjabbed minds want to know that. What's going on and what's the real play is just a fascinating to me. I don't have no way to understand this. I just do the potential possibility thing. And it's a scary world where I'm looking at it and I'm seeing that people complain about it but don't have a plan of action. Or they have a little bit of a plan of action and they're not looking forward enough. I agree with the tact and the convoy to have a party time attitude. That's a really cool way to approach it. It keeps things low-key. It keeps things peaceful. You have a place to stand there. You have a place to point out your detractors. You know, we're peaceful. It's like what they're doing at Antifa. You allowed Antifa to burn places down under being so-called peaceful, and you're attacking people that are just looking for, I saw a quick little video. You're looking for, you're denying people to have water and food in the convoy, but you'll allow the destruction of cities under peaceful protest. This is the big problem. We're not really addressing that as well as we need to at a wartime level where the war is against the people. You don't just say it. This is real. This is what I've been telling you. It was going on for years and years. It's what 9/11 essentially broke open into the public. I don't know that people appreciate it. So I say it's a little Super Bowl, this party, pre-Super Bowl party time, a party like it's 1999. Let's remove ourselves from the idea of this presumptive guilt, presumptive enemy combatant status, presumptive terrorist status. Let's get ourselves before that point and then assert that there was no lawful basis for any of this stuff. As this reporter starts to identify, they have no, the only relation they have, the government has, is it's to its own self. This is why self-referential discussions, I don't like them. When I ask somebody a question who claims to be some kind of an authority in a subject matter and they refer to their own work, that cuts it immediately in me. I will ask one more question. Can we reference something outside of your own statements? And when that doesn't happen, I have no further moment for that with that party or that opinion or any of it. It tears it right there. And that's happened to so few people with me, and maybe that's what happens where I get the internal support. We need an objective basis, not our opinion, notwithstanding how much we know. Why I tell you everything I say, you got to go find a black and white basis for it, and then you're okay to agree with me. So this guy, Joey, Super Bowl mentality. We'll call him Joey now. He's a Joey something ain't right, Biden. And DHS declare heightened terrorism threat. There's something not right with, and his cohort are declaring that there's a terrorism threat for what the Department of Homeland Security is saying is false and misleading narratives, misinformation, and conspiracy theories. And I bring this story in context of the prior three or four statements where the media is doing that. The government itself does that. Reporters tried to point that out. They're vilified for doing so. And yet the government focuses on what they think is misinformation while they're lying to everyone, while they're fomenting unpeaceful things, while they're getting ready to kill people or whatever, promoting commerce to do so. And this is when you really have to understand the seriousness of what's happened here. I told you they were going to do this. They're going to make the people the enemy. The censor, they got no position to censor anybody's speech at all. And yet they come out nowadays, it's a mind blower, actually. That just said they would even have an opinion on what a false and misleading narrative is, misinformation, conspiracy theory, while they're doing it all. Is a war against you. And so who determines what all this misinformation is? And we can get into that truth, or as I'm suggesting better, how about if we just cut right through all this nonsense and say, well, DHS and Biden, you don't have a jurisdiction to speak. You have no jurisdiction to giving you authority to speak because you cannot point to a non-fraudulent exigency which causes any information to have any label. If you don't have something that's been identified, people can talk about it. It's not mis, dis, or otherwise information. Talking about UFOs at that point, boogeyman, Sasquatch. Not to insult Sasquatch. The United States remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including online environment filled with false and misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation introduced and or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. If you can see all the watchwords for Patriot Act, P-A-T-R-I-O-T Act, and this is done on February 7th. If you think this is old news, yeah, it's a week old. I can't get to it. I told you, folks. It all happens. And this is what they're setting up against you. So what I've been telling you is to thwart this is you establish they don't have a jurisdiction to say so. They don't have a basis to say so. If you understand what I just said there, that simple little sentence, you'll understand the crux of how powerful it is what I'm telling you to do to give you a foundation to stand from that shifts the burden to the party who has the actual obligation. And whether or not something ain't right with Joey Biden, he had a duty to do, if it was within his power to do so. And I can tell you, I haven't found that it is. In fact, that question came up right before the broadcast. The U.S. has an authority. Here it is in Jacobson. And I pointed out that, no, if you look at the reservation, the federal government had no general power given to it to do health matters. Now, if it's out there, you got to let me know, markonthebeast@protonmail.com. But I haven't found it. In fact, we saw that in the International Health Regulation 2005 reservation by the United States, reminding the world that the states have that power. Remember. And so we don't have to go very far for the proof. This is not in the federal government to call. Anything that's going on these false narratives, misinformation, conspiracy theories, maladministration, it's the government that we can prove by the record. You can just list those last four tabs I talked about as showing that the government is the culprit of that. And then on the other side, they haven't given themselves a non-fraudulent reason to have a jurisdiction to have a say. And they are the ones that are, until they do that, they're in a problem. And if everybody started to understand that, we wouldn't get into this. That's the other thing. We won't get into arguments. There's no argument once you find out the other guy who had the duty to do so. The guy says there's a fire in the field. Would you at least point the fire out? Because I'm looking in that field and I don't see one. And maybe when we find out there is no fire, we can just say, well, maybe you're kind of crazy. Maybe you just have a problem. Maybe we don't need you around. But see, we've established it. not by accepting they have the right to order up a fire department to go put the forest out, to know that everyone believes like the emperor no clothes until the little kid says, hey, but the emperor's got no clothes. Or if you're in a state like I'm at, the empress doesn't have any clothes. That's as hideous as I can only imagine what that would be. I think I've just ruined my mind. Anyway. Biden declares, DHS declare heightened terrorism threat. It's the government. It's through the 9/11. You're re-invoking this. I told you this was going to happen. And anything that comes against it is wrong. And yet we kind of, we argue that that's the absurdity of that, but we don't make the last statement that says, you don't have the authority. You don't have the authority to say that because you haven't derived the jurisdiction through the necessity to be able to say so relative to the subject matter you're talking about. I say that, it seems like it goes so fast that people get confused, but it's not. So I have the DHS National Terrorism Advisory Bulletin. And if you go down to number one, the threat environment, if you don't think all this is about environment, it's not the environment you think it is that they're talking about. While the conditions underlying the heightened threat landscape, listen to the sustainability words and all this as well. But at any rate, the threat landscape, that's not been defined. Anyway, they just call it the heightened threat landscape. They've made it up like everything else. The heightened threat landscape have not significantly changed over the last year. The convergence of the following factors has increased the volatility, unpredictability, and complexity of the threat environment. And, number one, the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which sow discord or undermine the public trust in United States government institutions. Let's go back up. The threat environment to them and their narrative is this problem. Number two, continued calls for violence directed at U.S. critical infrastructure. Well, folks, don't do that. Stop. Take that away. Be the peaceful guy. That's what I say. Party like it's 1999, like Patriot didn't, the P-A-T-I-R-O-T Act didn't exist. Get yourself back on the side of innocence and move from there and just don't threaten anybody. Why would you want to threaten anybody? There's no sense. And we know that. I'm not even telling you anything. That's why a peaceful party time attitude is probably the best way to go. And you see a lot of the highlights of that when you see pictures that, well, there's no threats here. And yet the counterinsurgence comes in and brings the threats that aren't there and they're not part of. Shows you that they're also government operatives. And then here, number three, calls for foreign terrorist organizations for attacks on the United States based on recent events. Well, you understand, the United States is a district that's foreign to all the states. So all y'all are foreign terrorist organizations that stand up as an organization. Well, I've told you to go by yourself, if you will. Don't be aligned. Just show up mutually. Okay? So they give you the list of what they're after. You cannot be two. You can undermine the one. And now they don't have a cause, if you understand what my methodology, at least a place to make, how to make a foundation to start from, better than no place at all. When you act without the foundation, they then can say all this stuff about you. So I'll end right there. They're telling us how, what they're looking for. Just don't be that. And that's not because you say so. That's because you show so. And one of the ways you do that is writing. You put a document out. And keep it short. You don't have to go on and on. I've really gotten it down. If you listen, to address the burden and to address what failed is a very short sentence. I don't have to talk about my rights. I don't have to talk about what I'm being attacked. Just official, just do your duty. I don't want to hear about your job. I want to know about your duty. Right here. Listen, right here. Do that. Just do that. DHS here is a list of the top COVID misinformation spreaders you should investigate ASAP, which I thought was a great counter and another way to be mobile. DHS, here's a list of top COVID misinformation spreaders, but it wasn't really from the DHS. If you look down through, it is looking at the instrumentalities of the disinformation, the official disinformation. And they say, go after it. Go start investigate all this stuff. Bring some force against it. Again, we're millions. It's going to take us dividing ourselves up intelligently and going after us in groups of people, different aspects of it. You don't want to be looked like a group, so you come in with different aspects on the same point in different ways, and we start rooting out the tyranny and usurpation inside the system by bringing looking at the code and say, oh, well, here's your objective basis, duties and obligations, or duties or obligations. You see this, it's in the code. Just go look for duties. That's the first part. Duty, and then see if they've complied. If they haven't, that's the list. That's all you do. Copy and paste it. You failed this, 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 and this. No. Where are we at here? Where are we at? And you need to do that for all these organizations that would come out and spread that disinformation. The point is if you make a simple, straightforward answer that maybe is maybe better than I do, maybe more intelligible to people, and not maybe so technical, although I don't think I really speak so technical. I think I talk on the requirement. So that's just what's required. That's in a law. That's in a law. That's in us, our objective basis, how we treat each other. And so it's not really that technical, most of us are unfamiliar with them. But you make that little short list, and you present it to somebody. You don't have to berate anymore. They don't answer. They've agreed that they're violating that provision. They've agreed that they're not doing it correctly. And you start building your dossier on their failures. And we start to come back together with all this information that's objective. And small, again, we don't want to overwhelm ourselves. And we start, again, building that basis as we get together mutually, non-dependent of each other, but looking at a thing that interests us to solve, or resolve, or bring out, and investigate and bring the truth. And we bring out, like, the list of those that couldn't do this, the list that couldn't do that. You start bringing together your proof, and then mutually available to everybody, open source, on the dimension of the problem. But first, for anyone, there's no misinformation you can spread where they have not demonstrated the cause upon which they complain. That's their problem. Now, while they don't want you to speak against what they're doing, they also don't want to speak on self-incrimination, and they'll invoke all kinds of powerful things. Pelosi Congress claims sovereign immunity in federal court to keep secret January 6th videos and emails. Judicial Watch announced that it filed an opposition to United States Capitol Police's USCP's effort to shut down Judicial Watch's federal lawsuit for January 6th videos and emails. Through its police department, the Congress argues that the videos and emails are not public records, there is no public interest in the release, and that sovereign immunity prevents citizens from suing for their release. So this is the comment of sovereign citizens who are above the law, and they have, interestingly in my mind, they are arguing in a court which should then have jurisdiction over them, and they agreed to that. They waived their right of sovereign immunity because a sovereign would say, no, you don't have a jurisdiction, court. And so this is an interesting problem, and I hope Judicial Watch picks it up. But these are now sovereign citizens attempting to use the color of law, which may or may not exist, and I don't think it would exist relative to charges that they're bringing against people, because the one who is the chargee, the one who has the complaint, has to substantiate them. Okay, that's outside of my discussion. This is going down, but this is what the Congress will do, Pelosi will do, so that she doesn't have to incriminate herself. So she's able to amass a vast misinformation propaganda campaign. Maybe even be the architect of what happened on the 6th. And dumb people, good-natured as they were, please don't disregard this. I'm not insulting them. I'm saying we do things without really thinking. We get more involved in the party atmosphere than really what we're doing. Anyway, she gets to come along, and she gets to protect herself under the Fifth Amendment by some claim. I'm not sure it's valid, but I don't have any faith in the trust and faith. Remember, they said undermines the government. Well, the government, in my mind, is undermined by its own actions. So, and I can objectively prove that. In fact, that's what we say in the petition. The failure of the government to act within the law eliminates that. That was not my problem. I didn't do that. It's not even an opinion. We got the proof. There's no response. There's no relief. There's a continuing attack. What am I supposed to do? In this case, they get to try and claim these sovereign citizens are above the law. And yet they walked into a court and they argue. That's interesting to me. And so moving on, just little things. Always wondering about where the attorneys are, and what gets allowed and what gets promoted. So that was an attack on the United States to the DHS causing terrorism threats. It could be another thing they're talking about, misinformation. Again, you got to qualify the specific subject matter of it. As another misinformation pops up, yet is a notice of what might be on the horizon, as you're watching the officials relinquish. I said the dominoes were falling. I told you that weeks and weeks and weeks ago. It took Europe to do this, and then we started to see it. You're watching it happen, and we're going to have more of that. And Fauci, the full-blown pandemic phase, it's just a phase, folks, on the way out for Americans. Well, it's either on or it's off, and then what is it? Is it really a pandemic? Well, local jurisdictions don't even recognize pandemics. That's an international invention. That's a foreign imposition. It's an undue influence on your state authority. But this Fauci guy claims that the full-blown pandemic phase is on the way out for Americans. Well, it never was. So there's another fraud. There's misinformation right there. Is DHS going to jail this guy? Maybe it's time to start focusing that. He has no authority to say. He had no authority to incorporate a pandemic. That was to the states. Here's the reservation. In 2005, IHR, international law, says there's a reservation to the state, no state of which has even declared an epidemic, let alone identified an infectious agent, upon which he uses federal, a foreign authority to dictate to the lives of Americans, and he has no jurisdiction to. Can you just put something like that together? Somebody? Just be the bunny rabbit on that trail. Just hop it down that trail. Just see where it goes. Yeah, it's probably going to be a little bit of a time-consuming thing. The point is you're making a record, and you make that record available to everybody else. You don't know who might need that. When someone finally comes on to what I've been saying to do, I find all the attorneys are always arguing the mandate side, always arguing how bad it is, instead of saying, wait a minute, we don't even have, no officials declared anything was under the law that exists that I even have to speak to. No wonder it's screwed up. That was S-C-R-O-O-D, for those of you sensitive ears. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who serves on his head, as the head of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, stated in a Financial Times article published on Tuesday that the United States is heading out of its full-blown pandemic phase. We can't have a pandemic phase. Remember, pandemics are also in regions. We can't be only part of a region. So this whole thing is misinformation. I don't have to get into it far, folks. I just don't. It's just not. You just go look. What am I using as a basis? It's any local communicable disease law. Says he's out of line. He's doing misinformation. He's fomenting fraud and harm and continuing killing people and maiming them. As we then see, we're on the phasing it out. Sweden has already declared it over, even if we just hand it to them that it was a pandemic in their area. Sweden declares pandemic over despite warnings for scientists. And there's a lot of stories about this as well. I just wanted to highlight it. They are rolling this down, and time to jump into last minute to start demanding that they demonstrate this thing and that they had no authority in order to impose it. In other words, you need to have a continuing connection to the fact. You understand, when you go read your rules, you'll understand how they did it, how they pulled this off, the modus operandi for pulling this off. Your continuing issue is having the officials and or judges. Again, you got to press on them for committing their own fraud in this. So you show that there's no trust or public trust or any kind of trust available to them. Their trust capital is done. It's over. It's as fraudulent as even the money system. But you press them for their non-fraudulent authority to even agree that there was a fraud. And you show that there's no authority to bring it, and that this thing that they have foisted on us for 2 years was brought by a method of listening to foreigners, which don't have an authority in the state, the confined, bordered strait. This is why your borders are very important. This is why borders are very important. We talked about the importance of borders and sealing them and only allowing certain things in. We talked about this. It was in preparation for this whole cellular invasion story. Your government has a sealed border. It's your border. It's a description in your enabling it, in your admission, your enabling it. It's what constitutes the authority, the limited authority for the officials who cannot speak outside that. Now, Fauci doesn't even have one. And if it is, it's limited to District of Columbia, if it is. But not upon the states who are confined as well. They can't even look out to see the pandemic because it's not even part of their law. Anyway, Sweden is declaring the pandemic over, despite warnings of scientists. So we got the big threat, And that's the problem, this ongoing threat. If you understand what I just said about letting foreign undue influence into your decision-making of your officials who cannot actually look at that, you understand the continuing threat this is when they keep putting, the media keeps putting in the dangling chad of fear, intimidation, and dread, terrorism on you. Remember, that's the definition. I think that came up with Gary L. He reminded everybody. The definition of terrorism is to be ruled by fear, intimidation, and dread. And that's what these stories do. But Stockholm, gone. Declared the pandemic over. Now I'm wondering, is there an epidemic? we look and go inside there. Is there an epidemic going on? Is there an outbreak? Of what? And then you get to go back to the beginning. Just like your communicable disease code said. Saskatchewan, to become the first province in Canada to end COVID passports and mask requirements. So they end it, but what we don't get is the question of whether of what their jurisdiction was to impose it in the first place, and that gets washed away. That question gets washed away, but good to you. Good on you, Saskatchewan. And this may be a little bit old news as things are moving very quickly. In fact, there's an issue in that was happening on the 9th. I mean, it's already happening. We're a few days late. I can't get to this but once a week, so the news I had that was timely already is done by how fast this is coming. The mask is coming off of this, folks. With Saskatchewan and Kanukistan, done. Premier Scott Moe says providing proof of vaccination to enter business has created two classes of citizens. Well, they can go again. That's true, but that's not the point. The reason why that happened was because you didn't demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency to identify what anybody was supposed to fight. And that vaccine passports could never be on the table. This is all an invention, and people are going to agree with that. But so good on you, Saskatchewan, and there's more. I mean, more. The dominoes are falling, except in certain spots, which is really the other threat. Kanukistan's provinces of Alberta and Quebec ready to ease COVID restrictions. The very problem. Ease it for what? No, they need to be eliminated. And you have the answer. I've been giving it to you all this hour or last hour. The authorities in Kanukistanian provinces of Quebec and Alberta, Saskatchewan have signaled that they are ready to ease COVID-19 restrictions as the truckers' so-called Freedom Convoy protest enters day 12. Good on you, but you're not focusing the problem. They're ready to ease, and what is their authority only to ready to ease instead of eliminate? This is what I'm asking people to start putting on the record. And then today is adding, and by what method? And you'll find out it was from reaching out and looking at a foreign definition that's not applicable within the states. And you're going to have to likely look in your rules implementing these communicable disease laws to find that one addition that was promulgated after the rules were put in. In other words, somebody came in and knew what they were looking at. This is the other thing. When you start reading enough of these codes, and because I read them, don't ever, please, please, don't think I like reading these things. These are just that we are in a war. It's where I'm having to go fight. I don't like what I need to do. I should be left alone to do what I wanted to do. And so I've learned where I need to go look. I go, I look, I find, and I see, and it proves out what I already knew was there, and there they are. I find them. I caught them red-handed, even though I don't know who I'm talking to. They went and done what they needed to do in order to usurp the power. How can I even know to go look, and then where to go look, and then eventually quickly find it? And I don't mean quickly, maybe 20, 30 minutes. I may have to read a whole code section, and it'll just finally show up. Oop, that's the one I needed. Why in the lawsuit of 2013, JMD versus Kitzhopper, did we not sue while they were violating us until we saw what? Follow the money, the leverage funding, the misappropriation of public funds. We didn't sue on the usurpation of the agencies. We couldn't do it until we found there was a better handle onto it. And so we have to take the law, we have to take the hits until we have the right time to move. Right now is the time to move. It has been, as I've been talking. Quebec eases restrictions. The population is fed up. Now, I find that title, again, these titles just tell me a ton. We can go on and read the story, and I want you to go read some of this because it tells you, it gives you information on what's going on and what didn't go on, but also how they're deceptive. Because the population is fed up is not the reason to relieve a population of an epidemic constraint. And not a population, what? The individuals that are principal agents of that infectious agent, correct? So this is another misinformation, and the wrong reason Because if it's all based on what you, whether you're fed up, I'm back to, well, okay, that's your consent of the governed, isn't it? And good on you, convoy. Good on you, the supporters. Because now we're in a totally lawless state that you have to be demonstrators enough that you affect the majority. Which is exactly what Trudeau started talking. Well, you can't threaten the majority. Well, if you understand how this corporate structure is, they also can't use the majority to beat up the minority. And that was voiced in the due processes of the communicable disease law that they've denied everybody, which causes their ire and their obstinance to go out and how dare they go block up a conversation, block up the communication of the city, which is to sit in your streets. And then you get blamed. These officials tell you to go park your truck and then you get blamed for it. Is the very thing I'm trying to show you to eliminate this nonsensical circular authority they gain when you're being quiet other than you're just your protest. But Quebec eases restrictions. The population is fed up. I had to put a big smile on my face. I don't even care the subject matter more than what they said there. That the population is fed up. Boy, that's a power, isn't it? Consent of the governed. Doesn't have, he admits it's not even about COVID. It's not even about a communicable disease there. But good on you, easing the restriction. But that's the problem, isn't it? Easing. They should be eliminated. The very title says they had no basis from the beginning because it was all about how much you will be taking. How much you would put up with. Not about anything within the communicable disease realm that they had determined that they needed to make the emergency for. Another article points out what you were all involved in. Completely violative of your communicable disease law. Legault? Or Legault? I mean, how do I pronounce that? Is that French guys up there in Quebec? You'll tell me. Legault? Do I do it that way? Practicing, quote, the art of deconfinement. If you didn't know, the prison you've been living in and what they used to put you there. Just the title. Go on and on. This is the guy that just said. They just said what? He just said, oh, the consent of the government. Oh, the natives are getting restless. Oh, fascinating, folks. Right in front of our face what they're doing here. But he's in the art of deconfinement. He's got to get it now. They got to break this down from you so you don't recognize what they actually did, how they did it, so they can continue to do it. And the art is a deception. The word art is an artifice. It's the root of artifice. No insult to artists of doing creative work. See, now don't do that to me. I do appreciate creative works, but this is not. This is destructive by deception, as I told you was coming on us. We can't have people locked up forever. We have to keep the right balance. No, you don't. That's in my immunologist. So the point is that he's not speaking in the law. He has no authority to even say one way or the other. If you were an infectious principle of highly contagious agent, you could very well, it could be said you could be locked up forever. Now, luckily, that's usually not the case, but ultimately, when the aliens invade, you're going to want to be able to have that power. We have to keep the right balance. Well, the balance really wasn't in what we do to keep people locked up. It's do you follow the law? The balance is made in the law. It's the balance between the prerogative power lawfully executed and then the limit of that power in execution, under the authority of its execution. And we can see the limit within the communicable disease code that provides due process, notwithstanding this power to destroy and confine or the art of deconfinement. Why do you have to have all that? See, is the point. You're not deconfinement. This is not the art of deconfinement. That's not the law. It's either you are contagious or you're not. And it's over or it isn't. This is not gray. And this is not subject to some immunologist's opinion. Even though he's explained that's what they're doing. They're telling you they've done it incorrectly. And now we move into the thing I was really concerned about happening last week and on a conversation about the war against you, what I could see possibly coming, and it did come out. Now, whether or not, I don't know how this all plays out completely, and a lot of you, again, your consent of the government is really driving this. You see that. It always has, actually. But I'd rather have you show that the maladministration got you there so that you could attack the maladministration and alter or abolish it, and alter or abolish how it got there. understand this is a deeper problem, and I want us as peoples, all the peoples of the world actually, step up to the power that we have and show the occupiers that the natives are beyond restless, and they went a step too far, and they should have never got that close, and they're gone. They're gone, and we're going to put safeguards in so that it never happens again. And that would be maybe, in this case, where communicable disease law says it was confined, the prerogative power was confined, that you put immediate remedy, a remedy for immediate arrest and criminal penalty for anyone in the office, in the offices who do these sorts of things in the future. And I think it might be that we just noticed, I don't know, and I don't have had the time, over time these culpabilities, these official culpabilities have been extracted from the law. So it's not so obvious that they would be. And then you have to allow, because those are extracted in the statute, you then have to resort to the last remaining authority, which is the Constitution, which then gave that power to your elected officials, which is like handing the chickens to the fox. But the video here, if we get to see it, I'm just going to send you the link. Ottawa city officials, police label trucker convoy as terrorist insurrection. Oh, it sounds like January 6th. It sounds like the DHS is talking about people in terrorism. It sounds like a concerted effort across the border. But Ottawa's not giving up. That domino's not going to fall. They're the worst. They're now labeling you as a terrorist insurrection. Why last week I was telling this came right after I told you folks, get the word out to have the extended statement that you're there to evidence the failure of the government to demonstrate a non-fraudulent agency for the emergency they declared, the fraud that it is until they do so, and that they do not have an authority to call anybody a terrorist. They're the tyrant outside the law. And so I was telling you last week, you're going to have a thing in your, have a piece of paper that you can hand a cop, say his orders are not lawful, and he's going to, and then you have more people behind you that you all can start working. Not, you don't argue with, you tell them this is the notice. You're walking yourself into an unlawful order. I don't think you're going to want to pay that check. Because that comes out of your hide by itself. But you have the basis to say that. Not just that you're protesting or demonstrating. Not just that you parked your truck because you were told so. It's because you're doing that, not because of mandates. You're doing it because they didn't demonstrate the lawful reason for what they claimed. Ottawa, so now they're going to double down. In Ottawa, city officials no less, different type of jurisdiction, similarly though addressed nonetheless. The Canadian government is still mulling over whether the military against Freedom Convoy protesters, although Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the decision wouldn't be taken lightly. Yeah, I know. He's already calling you, telling you that you're going to be attacked. And this is what happens. So I say the war is on. And I said, give yourself a basis that they are wrong. You need to get that in writing. You can't let your silence allow them to license to come and attack you. But Ottawa's taken a different tack. They're going to label you a terrorist, just like I thought in this war. Against you, and please take notice of this. This is like the seed of the concentrated evil. The other provinces may be capitulating a bit, but not getting rid of it. This one's going to be the concentrated evil nugget that may come back if you're not careful. This is a nationwide insurrection now, see, as it comes from Ottawa. Mayor, no less, not a premier, declares a state of emergency amid trucker convoy occupation. When you step up and say he's created a man-made disaster by not demonstrated his jurisdiction not demonstrating a non-fraudulent agency, he just flipped that on its head. Now, he's created the state of emergency, and the occupation is his. The usurpation, the occupation you live under is his. And he had no authority to begin with, because you had to rely on some health official in that state, in that government, whatever it is. It's going to be the same. Rule of law, democracy is really consistent. No matter how we get there, we're going to get to the same things. So I look at these titles, they're telling me, man, I gotta weigh in at these people, if you understood what I'm saying, about how everybody could have a more powerful word in their mouth. How you're not going to stand there and be that terrorist. How you stand around and say, it's not me that started the state of emergency, you ordered me to park. And you did it without jurisdiction to do so. And if I move, I'm going to get hurt again. And so now, we're going to stop this nonsense. You're going to demonstrate your non-fraudulent agency for what you claim is a state of emergency that we caused that you never developed correctly. The occupation and usurpation of the government you caused when you didn't demonstrate the non-fraudulent agency. Can you at least have that word in your mouth? Can you leave that? Now send back a notice because he just sent a salvo across your bow of what they're headed up for? They're calling you terrorists. That is words of war. They put you in a particular class for in the, you're not even in a part of the Geneva Convention when they do that, if you get what they're doing here. You have to make a better record than their official proclamations, which are the record officially. Police threaten arrests for people giving fuel to Freedom Convoy. This is another discussion I mentioned quickly. There's going to have to be a logistics expert looking at how you're going to feed these people, and they have to look at this problem of the police coming and stealing your stuff. And there needs to be a whole bunch of people, and I don't have the answer for this. I'm just going to tell you an idea that came to me about what I would do is if I was found in this condition, when I saw pictures of cops stealing firewood and water. Well, you get their name and you take the, even though the courts are corrupt, you do this anyway, and you do it with thousands of people on top of it. And you sue those cops for stealing your property. You want to make it even more airtight, you make a contract of delivery to those people for food and water. In other words, you get to also bring in the Good Samaritan problem. Why? To support their right to speech in light of the fact that the government failed to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency. And you sue those officers and enjoin them from stealing your stuff, interfering with your contract, which they're not supposed to be changing. They can't interfere. I hope you have that up in Kanukistan. At least develop a strategy for going after these people. Make it difficult on them. The truckers stay parked. They do their thing. They party time. Give them the right to party because they're sitting there. The rest of you, they're looking around, start looking at taking names, as you're supposed to do, and then go whoop some, open some cans, folks. Even in the face of the corruption, you go, I'm telling you, thousands of people going doing this in the, you overwhelm the judicial branch. You put on them the fraud as well. You show that the government doesn't exist in any capacity. There was a discussion, I go quickly off a point. There was a video I saw, some guy is saying, hey, we were told to not blow the horns. But when a case, we are not supposed to blow the horns, so we're not blowing the horns. But what that did is it recognized our right to protest. Fair enough. But you know what? What was missed by that gentleman? In all his, I mean, I support him. I support his view. He's intelligent thinking about it. What he missed was when they supported the, when they were telling you to honk and they recognized the protest, what that recognized was the right in the government to allow, to cause the condition that made the need to protest. It didn't challenge what I'm saying up front. And so even though he's correct, we have our protest recognized. What wasn't recognized by the courts was the fraud committed by the officials, pursuant to black and white basis, not your opinion. Police threaten arrests. Well, those arrests have started, I understand, and again, this news is happening pretty quickly in this war against us. They're looking at the story real quickly. They go through during the parliamentary debate, Liberal MP Joel Lightbound slammed his own party for not presenting a roadmap out of restrictions. See, even he's in the wrong thing. All they have to do is say that the executive never demonstrated a fraudulent agency, and that's why there's no roadmap, because they were never meant to have one. Anyway, we go on and I go analyze this on and on. I don't need to take many paragraphs to get to the point of what we need to be doing. En masse. We have thousands of people going to the protests. I can't imagine how short the piece of paper would have to be to make a complaint before the courts. And if you're all broke and you go, well, in the States we have informed paupers. Go in, informed paupers. I don't got no money. I need justice. Equity side. Equity side. Don't sue for damages. Sue to enjoin the theft of your property. And then give yourself the lineage rights of what you're doing. And then on top of that, put the icing on the cake. This was all started because they, the officials, have caused the man-made disaster when they didn't demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. Yes, I'm going to be that harpy. This is such a key point that's missed by most everybody, and I don't see dialogue anywhere. I don't see any evidence of it. If you don't give yourself the foundation for why you're acting, and it's in this case, it's black and white, clearly able to be demonstrated, you have no place but certainty in impressing this upon someone who would challenge you. Or how audacious are you? Yeah, they're supposed to do something. It's not my burden. I'm innocent. And then you attacked me. Now you're stealing my stuff when I protested. Ottawa police chief worked for the company that built vaccine tracking system for feds. Now, I'm always amazed when I read this. I don't know what people hear about that. I'm wondering, how is this guy so well positioned all this time that he worked with these companies? He's Jamaican-born police chief in Canada's capital city on top of it. Worked for multinational consulting firm Deloitte. Excuse my French. Before he took over the Ottawa police force. How does this guy get there in order to be this kind of a tyrant in the office? It's always astonished me when it's easy, then you see how they pre-positioned their soldiers. How they did it, I don't know. There's some other thought going on how this pulled off. But the Ottawa police chief, the same place they're threatening and arresting and stealing your stuff, is a guy in the chief, in the office of the chief, that worked as a vaccine tracking system. I don't even know what more. My mouth, I couldn't. Again, what else do we need to know about the corruption, the nested Russian doll corruption and cover that goes on right in front of everybody's faces? Is the point in the story, or is the point that you got officials that are corrupt? And let me give you the more definite statement. There is an appearance of impropriety in this. Now, the judges will say that's fine, but you assert there's a mere appearance of impropriety that's not supposed to be tainting the office, let alone a direct impropriety where he's using mitigation measures that were planned in the future, and he was then predicting he would not challenge the law, he would not enforce the law that required the officials would demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. You see, did I say that all kind of broke up, or did you understand what I'm saying? By his inclusion of his stuff on a mitigation measure side, it predicts, we don't know his connections follow the money, but it predicts that he would not, in preference to that undue influence in his background, and to see that system go into place, that he would not enforce the law, correct the communicable disease law, where he looked out and saw his people being attacked by an executive authority. In other words, he's probably also part of that executive authority. But this predicts the future failure. And moving on, I got so much to do here. I don't know if I can get through it even as fast as I thought I was going. Moving now into Ontario, and excuse me for just kind of going through all this, just showing you across the board, the truckers have had some influence. I want to highlight, though, that it's only an easing influence, not an ending influence, and I'm asking folks to pass the word there to finish this and impose the obligation on the government still, after they start relieving it, that they still have something to do. They still have to answer for it, and they still have to eliminate how they were able to do it. As I said, the rule allowing foreign influence of a standard that's like pandemic instead of epidemic. The failure to take on or the ability to take on epidemiological data before you even identify what that data is attached to. Notwithstanding the model frauds. This is no longer a protest. Ontario Premier Doug Ford declared state of emergency to deal with truckers in the siege of Ottawa. You see the language. This is war language, and I was anticipating this last week. I discussed it with a friend there's a certain thing that people have to do to protect themselves from it coming. It's already here, but it's just going to come on tighter. And again, this is happening so fast. This is really like a war. It's pitched battle in a way. The statements come out, the actions are taken, they went in, they attacked somebody, some people at a bridge, pre-dawn raid. All the words here are for war. And don't underestimate that clue on how you have to start organizing yourself up and to attack the system back, utilizing, if you will, the peaceful methods that are available in the due process side for relief on the remedies you can put together for yourself, as I'm suggesting a few. I don't know what they all would be, but there's some that you can do. This guy was silent for a long time, I understand, in the story, and then he speaks up. So he essentially allowed it for a while, and then he's also speaking about constitutional rights. He's invoking Canadians' constitutional rights and freedoms at the very moment he's canceling them, and he lays the legal groundwork for martial law, is the statement here. Exactly what I've told you. There's another writer, Mark Crispin Miller, who sees that interaction, that dynamic of how that works. It's exactly what I've been telling you happens. They produce the legal groundwork, is the record they're making. You people have to go in and counter that record. And you don't do it by your opinion, you do it by the failure of the official having the duty to do something that they failed that causes this. and you take away the lawful order status, or at least arguably so. And so you at least got neutrality again in your authorities between the two sides. COVID-19 tracker, Ontario declares state of emergency over trucker protests. Canadian automakers seek legal action to end the blockade. So now they got corporations coming in to counter this on Doug Ford's declaration of emergency. And it stands until you defeat his authority by claiming that he's never identified an infectious agent. And that premier, whether or not he has that authority, I don't know. He could declare the state of emergency, but now it's based on something that he created. And so it's man-made to him by his inaction on the first one to, now you got to do a step back on not identifying that he wasn't acting through a lawful emergency order because it was based on, it wasn't based on a non-fraudulent exigency. I keep repeating this. It's so simple, folks. I want you to hear it. I know it's maybe boring. Maybe people turn away on this, but if you don't start setting this up, the war they're building, the record they're building of propriety against the people, it will be your demonstration, so-called, is short-lived in the scheme of things over time. This rises up now, moving on to, so there's a war declared. It gets so to the point that they are amassing violence on you, and you're not stating, but you don't have a jurisdiction to be able to give you the authority to say so. And then that foments the backwash of people coming in the propaganda scene, who also, if you look deeper in the connections, we now move into another foreign influence. Interestingly, but not so surprisingly, slash the tires, arrest the drivers. Harvard prof calls for violence against Freedom Convoy truckers. And so you definitely heard she's calling out, and she's not going to be arrested for this declaration of crime and violence against people. Harvard prof, CNN analyst and former DHS official Juliet Kayyem, on Thursday issued a call for violence against the peaceful Freedom Convoy protests amassed at the Ambassador Bridge linking Detroit, Michigan to Windsor, Ontario. And again, what I'm telling you would go, you could attack her with this notice saying, where do you have the, where they haven't done this, where is your right to advance violence? And then you would send the where they haven't shown a demonstrated a non-fraudulent agency and you called for violence, you send it over to the chief of police over there in whichever closest by and say, why hasn't she been arrested for inciting violence? But be careful who she's connected to, because near the end of the article it says in disclosure, why does Harvard and CNN employ someone who worked with a scandal-ridden Israeli spy firm? You find out that we're back to that the Pegasus software that they used to go after Khashoggi and kill him, the Saudis used. And so, what are we dealing with here? The foreign influence. It's really fascinating to watch as we go through and bringing us into the mouse that roared, so-called, scaring the elephant. I don't know. I understand it. Israel pumps $300 million into a concert, quote, concert. It's an organization now. They're revamping it, an old one, a revamped propaganda campaign to fight apartheid label. And so, here we have someone inside Kanukistan talking slash and burn violence, affiliated with Israel, back to slash and burn violence, that they now have it's now come to the point where they are, the movement to identify this pipsqueak in the world, having so much influence and so much lack of acknowledgement of culpability to anything it does, is coming on the radar so high that they're having to make a revamp a propaganda campaign that was created before, and they're calling it now concert, in order to go back out and win the minds and hearts of people that it isn't the apartheid agency that it is, essentially. And a very important story here, again, as we see the influence, foreign influence in countries to foment the violence and keep the government in a position of power because everyone's silent on where they never had the power in the first place. Losing the battle of the hearts and minds abroad, Israel hopes injecting millions into revamped government project will counter the changing global narrative. Last month, the Israeli cabinet approved 100 million shekels, about $30 million, in funding to boost government propaganda in the Western countries. Under the foreign minister, Yair Lapid, the funding will restore the government initiative and combat the Palestinian-led boycott divestment and sanctions BDS movement and shift public discourse on Israel in the state's favor. Out of Mint Press, we can read the story. Very important information there. Then I got me over to a video, BDS at the Sydney Festival with the Janine Kalik and Sarah Saleh. They talk about what's gone on where Israel comes in through its embassy, gives the money to a festival, long-term festival. This is right from the Israeli embassy from Canberra to this festival, and they displace the Palestinian creative people there with the influence in moving this thing through. I want to listen to see what is their position. I think between the two articles you see, and then when I saw the slash and burn thing from this other party, all integrated with Israel, you see the global influence underneath the skin, right in our face, but underneath the skin, that goes in to subvert people. I found that to be important enough to tell you here. And we got to keep track of these secret agents, if you will, that look like they're regular people. They're really not. Whether or not, again, the agent provocateur, whatever, the change agent, just another dual citizen type allegiance, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that they're subverting, they're calling, they're unduly influencing locals, essentially bribing them in the Australian time for very minimal money as well. And then that organization says, well, we're not doing anything political, which is a complete lie. Another misinformation, it doesn't get arrested. But to call out to call out for violence and not be arrested is part of the problem. I don't care where she comes from or who she's affiliated with. And the violence that was done to the people that are protesting when they were told to park, that's done when the government failed to follow the law, needed to be arrested. And this all can be turned around to your local officials that are claiming you're a terrorist. Again, a tyrant can call you anything, and that's just by definition, by definition they're a tyrant. They got no basis for it. As we move into a little more detrimental side for the Americans on this matter, relative to censorship and then moving it into what needs to be said, and if you go to say what needs to be said, they cut you out in the government's side of the misinformation that they promote without remedy to us at this point. Government demands to remove Twitter content hit high record. Twitter revealed on Tuesday the government's request for content to be removed from the platform hit a record high in the first 6 months of 2021. So it was only a year back. The government's moving in. Not only is they called it under the cover of misinformation, that is a national security interest, that they can cut you out and limit your speech. And they do it through the third-party problem that we've been talked about. And Twitter tells us about that. And we can't get the information out because the tyrant has defined what information is, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And they get the final say. So the government is speaking on both ends here, like Janice and Two-Face all the time. And in part of that, where we have that the representatives of the government in the lawyer, the attorney, the bar member, as I've routinely shown, doing the wrong argument, or people being set up to do the wrong argument. We now see what I've been talking about going to the federal level and what happens relative to these vaccinations and not arguing about, not the argument, asserting the claim of fraud against the jurisdiction or the police power that's invoked. If you go after the mandates, the power is given, they will not challenge the power of the executive to do the power you didn't challenge. And we see this now in two cases where a federal judge greenlights firing of unvaccinated NYC municipal workers. A federal judge on Friday gave New York City the green light to fire as many as 4,000 municipal workers for refusing to get vaccinated against COVID-19, as a Mayor Eric Adams said officials would be working over the weekend to determine who gets the axe. This, again, is about vaccination. It wasn't about the fact that they haven't developed non-fraudulent agency, that COVID, in this case, is only symptoms. That could be anything. That's not a cause. And so you see a federal judge being putting those blinders on. We thought a blind to justice. No, they're blind to justice, all right. They're not watching what's going on. They have a duty to really watch what's going on, and they won't, and they're not, and it's predictable. And this, they want to go out also on another case of a class action for New Yorkers for Religious Liberty was knocked down, too, because their exemptions were refused. Again, if you go follow the paperwork of the state, they're not going to do the challenge. And so you don't have that cause, and the attorneys are not catching it. And so this is a plan. I mean, I see it as a plan. It's predictable. It's a plan. Not one jurisdiction has an attorney in it yet that will actually bring before the proper court the right proper challenge. And so a federal judge who will give the right to the state, I already told you how that works, it's predictable that the litigants are not going to be protected. And your religious rights mean nothing. This is another important point here to see. For as much as you might think they do, they really mean, I've told many people, don't lead with your religious rights. They are not regarded. Lead with a more substantial thing, for as much as you might get shocked to hear that. Anyway, remember, your so-called religious rights, it has to do with your rights of conscience. And we saw that in that Seeker case, so we talked a little bit about that. But you don't lead with that. You have to lead with the failure of the officials, whether they be the business owner or the government official. They both failed in the same way. If we move here to the New York Supreme Court rejects New York teachers' religious exemption appeal over vax mandate. Again, over the vax mandate, not whether or not they had properly invoked the police power that they say exists. The Supreme Court on Friday shot down an appeal from a group of New York City teachers who sought to block the COVID-19 vaccine mandate, arguing it violated their religious freedom. It's irrelevant. Justice Sotomayor, so you're going to see this woman, is one of the judges in their district that makes a decision all by herself, rejected the emergency appeal on Friday at the same day as the deadline for the city's employees to comply with the mandate or face losing their jobs. Sotomayor did not offer an explanation, which is the court's usual procedure. It's also not justice. It's not equity. Equity has to have a reason. And so they out of turn deny you that you can't rely on that. You shouldn't have actually relied on that. What they need to do immediately is go back in and refile, but on the point I'm saying. The mandates are irrelevant until they've established the non-fraudulent exigency. And then how you go about doing that, as I've talked about for 2 years now. I mean, wow. I thought about that. Keep thinking how much time flies in a way and how much drag on. So predictable outcomes, not good, but they're instructive. My thought is maybe there's no justice at all, but at least get the right discussion before the courts. Get the right point before the court. This is not the judiciary imposing itself on the executive. This is having the executive demonstrate it did it lawfully. There's nothing to go on that the court can be interfering with in the executive until that happens. Because this is one of the arguments they say, the judiciary can't interfere. They use a separation of powers. But that's the point. Without following the law in the executive, that's a separation of powers. It's a violation. And that's what the courts do have a right to look at. Because there's no determination made until it's lawfully established. Now, moving on to something else in the scheme of things, and doesn't really look too much with these discussion of passports and the connection and tracking and tracing throughout the lineage of the broadcast and the mandate side of this, who's involved, where they're placed, all this starts to work out, and found it very interesting. It's kind of got me torn a little bit, put a smile on my face on the one hand, and on the other hand, it caused some other new thoughts about the world we live in. But the SpaceX just lost 40 satellites to geomagnetic storm. There could be worse to come. The worst that comes at this point relative to those spaceships, those satellites, is they just fall out of orbit. And it's very interesting how they pull this off, but I had to smile a little bit because part of me doesn't like this networking that they're putting up around the world to hit every corner of the world. I don't know how you do that on a round sphere, but anyway, even the elites have a statement that they say they want this system to cover every corner of the world, the round world. So in other words, the world may not be that globe we think of. SpaceX just lost 40 satellites. They sent them up low Earth orbit. They got an interesting little thing. They put them in low Earth orbit to test them, because if they fail as a satellite, which is possible, these are like $250,000 a piece, then they deploy them, and if they don't work, they come back into the out of the atmosphere and they burn up so that they're not part of the space junk. So that's a plausibly good idea. Well, when they launch that up, so they're putting up this big network of surveillance, essentially. And it's, you know, I mean, they didn't do this for no money. Likely the military is behind it. I'm sure that there's been reports about military contracts. I just haven't seen them. As they come underneath the humanitary need for communication, which is going to hasten the connection in the rural areas to bring everybody into the system, which they have a problem with. But SpaceX lost 40 satellites or so of 49 that went up in an interesting little natural problem. I'm not quite sure where to place what the oversight was, but just about the time that they launched this low Earth satellite, we had a geomagnetic storm hit, or a geomagnetic impulse hit the Earth, which perturbated the atmosphere sufficient that those little satellites that, which do have thrusters on them eventually, once they work and deploy, they thrust, they have ion thrusters which take them into orbit a lot higher so that they can do their job, gets them up and out of the way. At the time they got launched, this geomagnetic storm, I say focus on the magnetism here, it perturbed the environment such, the atmosphere, it took these satellites right on out. Which was, that put the smile on my face. Maybe there's a cleansing to happen once the grid goes back up. On the other hand, the technology tells us that we don't understand space weather too much, and we really should pay attention to that. And I didn't have the link, The link of, I think her name's Tamitha Scove. If you can find the link, go to her Twitter. She's done an explanation on this. Very interesting. She brings up some very cool things. I still have a question on a couple things that she's pointing out relative to the magnetic interactions that went on, but this wasn't just so simplistically like the atmosphere expanded due to heat. This had to do with more of the magnetic interactions. It's just fascinating to me, the power of this stuff, what's going on in the world. Anyway, so we see that maybe Mother Nature can clear the skies again one day on the surveillance system. On the other hand, we still learn, we have a lot of fascinating information to learn from nature in her power relative to the dynamic, this electric, can I say it without too much consternation, an electric universe that we live in. We have a video here of space debris over Puerto Rico showing what little satellites look like when they're coming in and glowing white and being destroyed by the atmosphere as they heat up and they re-enter. But this also back into the Starlink, what it's going to be doing and why probably the connection, and SpaceX is not the only one that's doing this. All the other big, the newfound big space companies are coming into it. And then I see this story, new DARPA Blackhawk AI war machine sets to take the skies together with autonomous robot dogs. Are they coming to surveil a town near you? Well, all this surveillance equipment will be running off this higher speed connection around every corner of the round globe to do autonomous AI so-called surveillance. I don't know what else to think of this than it's a real threat. It is military driven. I don't understand how we focus anything else. There is no real constraint of the officials at this time, and there's no public, I don't see any popular knowledge put upon the officials yet, as I'm suggesting, to stop this type of implementation. Because if you don't stop the authority that they think that they're using, the power that they've now derived, this stuff starts to come on to do exactly what they claim to be doing against us in the future. This is not hard to predict either. So, ominous news in the one regard, technology, that it's not going to be there to hurt us for, maybe there's a delay, but on the other hand, it's on the horizon to do exactly what military wants to be brought to us to harm us as peoples around the world. Thank you, for listening today. Hopefully something I said influences you to take action and, donate. Again, we donate this month is the donation month, and I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.